Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 20. Jeremiah, chapter 20, verses 7 through 10. We'll read this passage responsively. Jeremiah, chapter 20, verses 7 through 10. Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 7 through 10. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me in a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, Peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this place. Thank you for the buildings and the place to be in out of the elements, a comfortable place, a place to where I believe your presence likes to be. Father, please be with our church today. Fill our preacher with your power as he preaches. Change our hearts, change our lives. Lord, there's a lost and dying world out there that we need to reach. Change us so that we could reach them, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 9, the prophet said, Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Here, the prophet Jeremiah is down. He's just down in his attitude and down in his spirit. And he basically says, I give up. That's the title of my sermon today. I give up. You know, nothing encourages me more than the humanity of the great role models of the Bible. I'm uplifted when I find that the strong have weaknesses. Now, I'm not happy that they're weak. I'm just happy that I'm not the only one that's weak. I am hopeful when I discover that success also suffers failure. I'm comforted when it is revealed to me that the confident have moments of a lack of confidence. When I see people who express great security feeling insecurity, somehow I'm relieved. When I hear that Moses, the meekest man on the earth, lost his temper in anger, smote a rock, it helps me because I have this ongoing problem with a temper of my own. When I hear that Job, who was deemed the best Christian on the face of the earth in his day, Job became proud and God had to discipline him, I'm helped when I hear that story because I've got this ongoing battle with my own pride issues. When I hear that Peter became mouthy quite frequently and created many problems for himself, I'm encouraged because I must constantly work on controlling my mouth and my words so that I don't mess up conversations and relationships. When I hear that the Apostle Paul and Barnabas had relationship problems to the point that it split them up, I'm encouraged about my ongoing effort to make my relationships peaceful and using proper words and making my relationships spiritual. When I'm reminded that Eve, a perfect creation from God, disobeyed God's command not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I guess I'm a bit encouraged that that perfect woman messed up because I have my own obedience problems when it comes to obeying what God said. And so I'm helped greatly when I notice the greats of the Bible were human. I'm helped greatly when I notice that the great people in the Bible suffered failure and loss. They stumbled and they fell. I'm also helped greatly when I see the people of the Bible who in a moment of weakness said, I give up. I give up. Demas said, I give up. The Bible says, having loved this present world. He loved the world so much, he said, I give up on this Christianity stuff. I give up. I just can't battle the temptations of the world like I should. I give up. Judas said, I give up. He allowed his love for money and the disloyalty that was in his heart to overcome him, and it destroyed him. Lot's wife said, I give up. I think she loved this life too much, and maybe the wild life too much. She had lived in a very, very wild society, and she gave up. But let me say to all of us, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse number 8, it says, there is no discharge from this war. Folks, listen. You say, I give up, preacher. I just had all I can take, and I give up. So what are you going to give up to go back to? Where is it that you think you're going to escape the hardships of life? Where are you planning on running to? Do you really think that when you give up and walk away from God that it gets easier? Do you really think that your life is going to be simplified by walking away from God and the strength of God? Well, I give up. I think I'll run to the hog trough of the world. Yeah, and then you'll find out that the hogs don't like it there. I give up. I give up. I give up. Hey, there's no discharge from this war. Doesn't matter where you go, you're going to face it. You're going to face it again. You might as well just stay right with God and stay right where you're at and don't run from God. Did you know that every human being alive comes to the point in either private or public where they say, I give up? Everybody does. You do. And we give up, I guess, for a variety of reasons, and we give up for a variety of because of a variety of things, or we want to give up a variety of things. But let's just be real with each other. I wonder how many this week in this room either said in your heart or out loud, I give up. I give up. I can't do it. And how many times have you said that in the past? And we're hoping we won't say it in the future, but I've got a hunch. I've got a hunch we're going to face something again in the future that's going to put that unique, special pressure on us. It catches us off guard. It catches us in a weak moment. It catches us when we're not as spiritual as what we ought to be. And it hits you, and it knocks you for a loop, and you say, I give up. Your wife's heard you say it, I give up. Your husband's heard you say it, I give up. Your kids have heard you say it, I give up. I think we all either say it out loud or on the inside from time to time. And today I want to talk to you about it. I give up. You take, for instance, in the Bible there's a man by the name of John Mark. John Mark said, I give up. Why? John Mark decided he was going to give up because of his fears. Let me read to you from Acts chapter 13, verse 13. The Bible says, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. John Mark was a fine young man. He was the son of one of the Marys of the Bible. The Mary, at whose house they held a prayer meeting, praying that Peter be released from prison. John Mark understood some things about being spiritual. He had grown up in a good home. John grew up in this home where they had called everyone together to have a prayer meeting. John Mark was a cousin to Barnabas. John Mark was won to Christ by the Apostle Peter. And John Mark, he grows up, he becomes a young man, and John Mark goes on a missionary journey. He goes with Peter, Paul, and Barnabas. You thought I was going to say Peter, Paul, and Mary, didn't you? He went on a missionary journey with Peter, Paul, and Barnabas. And this young man, he gets out there, and he's on this missionary journey, and they came to a place called Pamphylia. Pamphylia. Now, Pamphylia was a rough place. Pamphylia was a place that was known for muggings and robbers lurking in the shadows. Pamphylia was a bit lawless, and you would have a fear about maybe what would be hiding between the rocks and in the trees and in the darkness. And the Bible says that John Mark became afraid, and he said, I give up. I have too much fear. I give up. And this man turned around, left what God wanted him to do, and he went back home because of his fears. He left the other men of God due to his own personal fears. He was a bit of a young adult man, but yet he had a bit of that scared boy within him, and he virtually, probably went home to his mama. You know, all of us can get to the point, if we're not careful, that our fears cause us to want to say, I give up. John Mark gave up because of fear. He let fear stymie his future success. He let fear possess him. He let fear paralyze him. And let me tell you something, folks. Fear will paralyze you. And if you describe fear, I'm not even real sure what fear is. You've heard someone say, we have the only thing to fear is fear itself. I don't think fear is something that you can grab a hold of. Fear is not like this microphone. You can't grab it. You can't see it. You can't feel it. It's something that is created within our minds. Fear. And John Mark turned back. Why? Fear. He said, I give up. Why? Are you going to give up, John Mark? I don't know if he's going to admit it on the outside, but on the inside he said, I'm afraid. I fear. Have your fears caused you to say, I give up? I give up. Do you fear failure to the point that you'd rather not attempt something? And so fear has kept you from trying? I wonder how many people in this building could go forward for God, could go forward for good, could go forward in your life, but you fear failure to the point that it paralyzes you from taking another step forward. Have your fears caused you to say, I give up? There are people, you were walking down a path, and it was going to be a successful path, but you began to see that there was a possibility of failure. And so you've turned back, and you've put yourself in neutral, where at one time you were in drive, and you're coasting now, when you could be climbing now. Why? You've allowed fear to paralyze you. And somebody in this building said, I give up. I ask you why. You may not say it out loud, but you may have said, I give up because of your fears. Have you given up because of your fear of your peers? You fear your peers. You fear the people that work across the bay from you or across the way from you out there at that factory. You fear somebody at another desk at the office where you work. Young people, you fear some teenage boy. You fear some teenage girl. And you virtually have said, I wanted to be a good Christian. I wanted to have a good testimony. I wanted to be a success. But I fear that person right there. I fear the embarrassment of being a good Christian in their presence. So you backed off and you have let your fear paralyze you. And you have virtually said, either out loud or inwardly, I give up. I give up. And John Mark allowed his fear of the danger and Pamphylia to cause him to go backwards. He said, I give up. Do you fear doing that which is hard? We live in a characterless generation. People don't want to do what's hard. They are those that God would call to go to a foreign field and be a missionary someday. But they are so afraid of doing that which is hard, they allow their fear of that which is hard to keep them from doing right. Do you allow fear to cause you to say, I give up? I give up. I fear failure. I give up. I fear doing that which is hard. I give up. There are people in this room. You fear people. And I think we all fear people. We all fear people. We all fear being in situations with people where we're uncomfortable. But there are people in this room. You have never told one single person about Jesus Christ. You've never shared your faith one time. And I'll tell you why. You're afraid. You're afraid that if you start talking about Jesus, that you'll find yourself embarrassed. You're afraid of people. And you are letting your fear cause you to be paralyzed. And you're allowing your fear to make, either inwardly or outwardly, there are people in here, you say, I give up on talking about Jesus. I give up on witnessing. I give up on soul winning. Why? You fear people. And so there are people that have virtually decided, I give up on that. There will be people that will leave this church because we keep saying it's your responsibility to go soul winning and tell others about Christ. You will leave this church because you fear people. You fear people. Do you fear success? Has your fear of success caused you to say, I give up? I give up. He say, fear, success, It is very possible if you just do what the Bible says, you're going to be certainly at least spiritually successful. There are people in here, you're afraid to take a few steps forward and do what God wants you to do because you're afraid we may come to you and ask you to teach a Sunday school class. You're afraid we may come to you and ask you to start doing something for God. You fear failure. And for some of you, that is hard to understand. But yet for others, you're not going forward for God because you're afraid if you do go forward for God, God might start using you, and then you would have to come out of yourself. You'd have to come out of your comfort zone. You would have to conquer some of your own weaknesses. You'd have to conquer some of your own fears. You're scared to death that the Bible's true, and if you obeyed it, God would want to use you, and it would cost you something. And you fear it. You fear it. Say, I give up. Why? Just like John Mark. John Mark, he said, I give up. He was scared. I give up because of the fear of failure. I give up because of fear of doing that which is hard. I give up because I fear people. I give up because I fear success. Do you fear responsibility? Do you fear responsibility? Do you fear there are people, again, in this room, you fear being required to do something where somebody might check on you. Did you know, you ought to decide, I want to do something for God. I want some responsibility for God. I don't mind someone knowing whether I'm here or not. I'd like for them to be able to say, look, they're faithful and I've kept my responsibilities. But there are people that fear responsibility. That's why it takes you forever to make decisions about doing right. Because right has responsibility connected to it. And you fear responsibility. And if you say to yourself, I give up. I give up because of my fears in life. I give up. There are people here that fear change. Now, there are certain things that we're not supposed to change. We're not going to change the doctrines of the Bible. We're not going to change the old-time religion in this place. There are certain things that we're not to change. But some of us, we fear change. We fear changing us. We fear changing ourselves and going to a new level and requiring more of ourselves. We fear that. Hey, those of you young people that have graduated or will be in a few days from Martinsburg Christian Academy, and suddenly you're beginning to have a fear about going off to Bible college. Don't you let fear stop you. Don't you let fear stop you. Go forward. Hey, no great leader has ever done anything for God that did not have a bit of fear, but they stepped out with courage and said, I'll go forward. I'll go forward. I'll go forward. No point man for the Marines has ever seen victory that did not have fear that the enemy was on the horizon and that the enemy might attack. Indeed, the enemy might attack, but you got to go forward. Don't let fear paralyze you. You see, John Mark had fear. John Mark feared so much that John Mark said, I give up. I give up. There are some of you don't even know what you fear. But somehow you've allowed fear to become a part of your routine in life. It's just there. You fear things you know not what you fear. The fear paralyzes us. Fear psychs us out.
Yes, sir.
You've been psyched out by fear. You're petrified of something. And a million other people are doing it daily, all day long. Oh, fear is deceptive. Fear is a thief. Fear can cause us to miss out opportunities in life. And every last one of us have it. We all have fear. You say, well, those sort of things are easy for you to say, Brother Owens. Hey, I'm a coward at heart. Believe me. I wasn't born with feathers, but I could have been. I've got some chicken down inside me. I'm hoping to get some chicken down inside me later on today, too. Come to think of it. Oh, what fear does to us. John Mark, he said, I'm going home. John Mark put his tail between his legs and he said, I give up. What's wrong, John? Whether he would say it on the outside or not, John allowed fear to cause him to give up. But I got good news, though. John Mark made a comeback. You see, more than likely, he was brought up in a good home. John Mark, the upbringing in that home where they had that prayer meeting praying that Peter would be released from jail, that upbringing probably brought John to his senses. Because in Colossians chapter 4, verse number 10, it talks about my fellow prisoner saluteth you and Marcus. You see, this is later on in the scripture. John Mark went home at a given point, kind of put his tail between his legs, and in fear went home. But you find out later on in the scripture, John Mark makes a comeback. In Philemon, verse 24, it says, Marcus, Aristarchus, and Demas and Lucas, my fellow laborers, you find John Mark makes a comeback. You see, listen, folks, it is fear of failure that will cause you to fail. Don't fear. God is with you. Don't let your peers intimidate you. Can I tell you something about your peers? If you would allow it, they would be intimidated by you. And I'm not talking about trying to intimidate one another. But somehow, the devil comes to us. He psychs us out about our peers as if they really have an upper hand on us. Wait a minute. You're the Christian. You're the normal one. You're the one doing right. Why let the devil intimidate us among our so-called friends? Stand up for God. You'd be shocked at how the world cowers when a confident Christian says, I'm not interested in that. I don't do that. I'm born again. I've got a backbone. I've got a cause. I've got a reason to live. I'm not going to filthy myself down there living with the low life of the world. Suddenly the world goes, that scares me.
Yes, sir. Right.
Amazing. You go to the toughest house in the whole county. Tough people, wild people, mean people. I can walk up and knock on the door and say, my name is Jeff Owens from the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I'm the pastor. And you watch people go, well, I don't know if I want to talk to you. Christians don't have to be intimidated and scared out of doing what we're supposed to do for God. Oh, not at all. Not at all. Step up and do what's hard. Step up and do what's right. Some of you just need to come out of your comfort zone. Get out of your comfort zone. Step up for God. Why? If not, you'll live there. I give up. Why did you give up? Fear. Fear caused me to want to give up. Secondly, the prophet Jeremiah, as we read earlier, he said, I give up. Why? Young lady, hurry, find a seat there. Find a seat. He said, I give up. Because he felt unappreciated. He was wore down a bit, and I'm not sure that Jeremiah felt like anybody noticed how hard he was trying. Listen to this. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, it says, oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they all be adulterers and an assembly of treacherous men. Here's what happened. Here's a man of God. This man of God said, you know, I've wept fountain of tears. And he said, I've worked at it and worked at it. I'd really like to just get away from what I do. He said, I need to get away from these people. He'd almost had himself convinced that nobody liked him. Everybody hated him. He was ready to go eat worms. He said, I've wept a puddle of tears. I've tried to get them to listen to me. They're all out committing adultery. He said, you know what I'd like? This is what he says. He said, oh, that I had a wilderness. In the wilderness, a lodging place for wayfaring men. He said, you know what? I wish I had me a cabin out in the middle of nowhere where nobody could find me. I'd go there and hide. That's what he said. That's what he said. I want to run from the problems of these people that are around me. They won't listen to me. And I understand that as a man of God. The man of God can stand in the pulpit and say, don't do this, because if you do, it's going to mess up your life. It's going to hurt a lot of people. You'll walk out. You'll go do exactly what I said not to go do. You'll hurt our church. You'll hurt yourself. You'll hurt other people. And then we got to cope with the fact that the simplest thing was just obey. And that's the reason why men of God don't last long in the ministry. They begin to throw their hands in the sky and say, am I going to listen? Am I a voice crying in the wilderness? Am I just entertainment? You just pay me so I can get up here and we can have a little social meeting a couple times a week and say we're having playing church? That's how he felt. Jeremiah says, oh Lord, thou hast deceived me and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Now he began to feel sorry for himself. He said, you have to get up there, Lord, and you tell me to preach and you tell me to tell the people this and they don't like it. He said, I feel, God, when you called me, I thought it was going to be hunky-dory. And it's hunky-chunky. There's nothing dory about it. In verse 7, he said, things aren't turning out the way I thought. I'm a bit confused, and I have wept, and I feel like I'm losing the battle for good. He said, and I don't think anybody notices it, and anybody appreciates it. He actually goes into these words. He said, I will not make